Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and a very warm welcome to the Shackles Are Off podcast. And we had to do a podcast today, didn't we, Chris? Because what an awesome, awesome morning to be an England cricket fan. And you had it on in the office, didn't you, at Barmy Army HQ. I'd have loved to have been there with you. I bet the scenes were, probably not as good as they were at the SCG. But what an amazing moment that was.
Oh, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just blew them away completely. I don't think anyone expected as much of a thrashing as what India received. It's classic England, isn't it? Just keep your hopes low in the group stages, struggle to get past some very average teams and then blow one of the best teams in the world away. It's just textbook England. What an amazing start. The Barmy Army office was bouncing this morning. Another world-class party at HQ. There was a lot of envious people though watching the Barmy Army people that have travelled over to support the team, but also the supporters groups that are based there. I was a little bit envious, to be honest, watching on the TV, but you can't be everywhere, bud.
No, you're right. You're absolutely right. At one stage, I was thinking Virat Kohli going along so nicely, gets to 50. And obviously, I'm just thinking it's going to be another one of those remarkable Virat Kohli-esque kind of performances. He gets out. And then they just kind of struggled a little bit after that. But still, that total was one of those, wasn't it? It was like, well, that's competitive. That's all right. England might, you know, if they don't get off to a good start and all that. Five overs in, it was almost never in doubt, was it? And you still never know with England if there's going to be some massive collapse and it's all going to go to complete pot. But on the flip side of that, you feel so comfortable with Butler and Hales, don't you? You feel like they've done it so many times and so often in white ball cricket, in T20 franchise cricket. They've got such a cool temperament as well. The way that Hales spoke after the quarterfinal, effectively was a quarterfinal win, wasn't it, last weekend, in the last match of the group stage. The way he spoke after that was so, I don't know, he spoke like a proper, like a real thinker. Which was quite amusing when he was stood next to Owen Morgan, who I previously thought was one of the best thinkers in world cricket. But astonishing, astonishing. And actually, Pakistan, look, they've got some real players in their team. And obviously, one game, it can go either way, can't it, on Sunday. But they've got to be looking at that England innings, you know, 16 overs, 170 without loss, and just thinking, I don't really know what we're going to do here. And then actually, if you look at what was to come, had England lost a wicket, you've got Salt, Stokes, Brooke, Livingston, Moeen Ali, Curran, Wokes, Jordan, and Rashid, who can all add runs and at a fair rate as well. So it's just, it's amazing, really.
It is, and you go back to the Coley point, and I think he's just like, for some reason, England fans really dislike him. I actually rate him. I think he's an incredible player, talent, and the arrogance is deserved. However, I even got a text off my mum this morning saying, is Coley out yet? Because she wasn't watching for whatever reason, but all she was bothered about was whether or not Coley was out. And I was like, people just hate Coley. I walked in the office a few days ago, spoke to our social media manager, said, what's our relationship like on social with Coley now? He said, well, he blocked us on Instagram about a month ago. I was like, right, okay. Keep up the good work.
You're joking.
I didn't really say that because I don't think we should be getting blocked by professional players. But he obviously didn't like the duck graphic when he was going through a bit of a rough patch. Yeah. That was one of Chuck's favourites. But now back onto England, like you said about the strength and depth, it is remarkable. You think Mark Wood, arguably the fastest bowler in the world, we lose him, and in comes Chris Jordan, one of the best death bowlers in the world. When India were firing today, I thought they bowled really well. Like throughout, the bowling performance was outstanding. There was a lot of the commentary team talking it up, getting to a par score. I think T20, par scores in T20s is just pretty useless stat because it's so much on the teams, the conditions, the bowling, the which way the wind's blowing on that day. It is really down to the day. And I think if England had batted first, they'd be talking about a 200-plus par score. So it was one of those games, just a remarkable, remarkable game to watch.
Well, what I really liked, Ian Ward asked Hales after that Sri Lanka game, just saying, you know, when you're batting, when you're at the crease, what you're doing, you're setting yourself mini targets. And that's something that as kids, you're coached to do, isn't it? If you're batting and you're out in the middle, just try and, you know, if you're up against it under the pump, just try and get another 5, try and get another 10, etc. And he said it just so matter-of-factly, and this is what I loved. He said, I try not to set targets because then that almost feels like there's a ceiling on it. And I was like, that's actually such a really cool way of looking at it. And when he said that, both Morgan and Ian Ward kind of looked at him and were like, oh, yeah, fair enough. Makes a lot of sense. And that's somebody who's played a lot of franchise cricket, a lot of T20 cricket, knows his stuff and backs himself, more to the point. And I think actually it's just they're hitting all the right sort of notes at the right time, aren't they? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. What I also want to say, talking of the Barmy Army social media, which is hilarious. I've had a good old little read in the last couple of hours before I spoke to you, mate, about some of the comments and people kicking off and the Indian fans not really liking the sort of antagonistic comments from some of the England fans on there. It's very amusing. If you get 5 minutes, go and have a look. But the Greenwood sports bar thing, which you posted, when was that, a week ago? And that was getting a bit of a flag, wasn't it? Saying, oh, World Cup watch along, etc.
No, World Cup final watch along, James.
World Cup final watch along. Yeah, not semi-final. Not trying to predict which semi we're in today or yesterday. But indeed, the World Cup final watch along. A lot of people saying, well, that's good because it's going to be India-Pakistan or it's going to be India-New Zealand, etc. No. Well done, by the way. Well done for backing yourselves on that.
I can't believe people actually questioned whether or not we would get there. It was like, we didn't even consider that in the office. It was just assumed that that would happen on that day. And yeah, we've got to put an event on for it for like-minded people. Tickets are flying as we make this podcast. That's 10 to 3 on Thursday. Tickets are flying out the door, so be sure to come along and join us on that Thursday. It's going to be a lot of fun. There'll be a trumpeter there. There'll be merchandise flying around. It's a no-brainer to be there if you're an England fan and you're in and around the London area, and an absolute no-brainer. One thing just to reflect on, again, when I walked in today, one of Harry, our marketing guy, said to me, Owen Morgan has been stifling English cricket, English white ball cricket for the last 5-10 years. And I was like, no, you can't say that about Owen Morgan. And I thought, actually, you know what? Alex Hales in that World Cup squad, Alex Hales in the T20 team, maybe, just maybe, we'd have all had an early finish at Lords and there would be no need for a Super Over.
You do raise a good point.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
He's been unbelievable, Hales. Remember, he got that, broke the world record at Trent Bridge. Remember that? That was unbelievable. He's had some fantastic moments in England shirt. With that Owen Morgan decision, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard because he's obviously, you know, had been in trouble, not just once, not just twice, but three times. And I think that Owen Morgan, a principled guy, thought of as probably one of the best England captains ever in any form.
You know what? You know what, Greggy? I would have never put you on the side of sensible. Like,
no, like, I'm not.
You say Hales has done wrong three times. Jesus. You need a Harry Booker, Harry Potter anthology for your mistakes.
Yeah, but I'm not opening the batting for England, nor will I ever will be. So, you know, there you go. I'm not on the side of either. It's an interesting one because I think every England fan, if you're honest with yourself and you're listening to this, you have asked yourself that question, haven't you, at some point? You've sat there and you've gone, oh, would it be different if Hales was playing today? Last year, I certainly thought that in the UAE. I certainly thought that. I thought, could we have done with an Alex Hales here in this World Cup? You know, losing.
I guess we've had Johnny, haven't we? Like, look, Johnny's been unbelievable in an England shirt for so long, so can't have your cake and eat it, can you?
No, and then J. Roy's obviously been, you know, a mainstay as well up until kind of recently in all the white ball formats. So you don't know, do you? It doesn't matter.
No.
Because he's going to be powering his World Cup glory in front of all the England fans at the Greenwood Sports Bar on Sunday and obviously around the world as well.
Yeah, when we win this, Greggy, it'll be all we need now is a World Test Championship.
Yeah, that's right.
Job done.
Yeah, then it's the full clean sweep, isn't it?
It's a treble. They'll be calling the ECB guys the new Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah, the classic.
Who else won the treble? Yeah.
Yeah, just anyway, just Man United in 99, I think. And probably City. Weren't they on for some kind of quadruple? And it whatever.
Load of rubbish.
Whatever. That is an awesome event. I'll also testify to that. We had a couple of World Cup watch-alongs, didn't we? We had an Ashes watch-along as well there last year, which was amazing at the Greenwood Sports Bar. Great venue. It'll be absolutely rocking. People coming from all corners of the UK, like-minded folk as well. It's a brilliant venue. And also, just a reminder, Sixers. We bang on about Sixers and all the podcasts, but brilliant cricket environment. Get yourself down to your local Sixers if you can, because that is one of the best places to watch it. And obviously that World Cup final will be there on Sunday morning, 8 o'clock UK time, folks. So get those alarms set nice and early. Don't be doing anything daft Saturday night, because you want to be up fresh and ready to watch England on Sunday morning, bring the World Cup home.
What's your prediction?
England comfortable. I mean, it all obviously all depends on who wins the toss, but England comfortable. Not even an issue. Nah, not a problem. Not a problem. I think they've had that T20 series with kind of that second string in Pakistan. They had that decent little mini series warming up with Australia, where they were kind of just trying to hit the right strap. Some of the players were just sort of dusting off the cobwebs. World Cup's obviously a different kettle of fish completely. Couple of washouts. And then actually, when it's mattered, England are right up against it. I know there's going to be some weather around on Sunday, isn't there? So we might actually be talking about reserve days and all that kind of stuff. I hope not, for goodness sake. I hope we do see just a normal and uninterrupted final, whatever day they end up playing it on. But
oh, here we go.
I know. Anyway, we're not going
Greenwood
down this
on Monday.
Yeah, Monday morning. That'll be a popular one. Working from home. The bosses, yeah, brilliant. Well, we'll see. So yeah, there we go. We will obviously be recapping whether England, you know, win or lose on that. And we actually also have a little bit of a bonus guest for you. It's been the launch of the ACE program. We're going to be hearing from several of the ACE ambassadors over the coming weeks, aren't we, Chris? And it's just launching this week. Great time to launch it. And actually, neither you or I were around or available to speak to Ebony Rainford-Brent. I'm a big fan of Ebony Rainford-Brent on the commentary.
I was, mate. I spoke to her.
You spoke to her?
Yeah.
I thought it was Chuck who spoke to her. No?
No, it was me.
Oh, there we go. Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you were around to do it. Okay.
Memorable.
Excellent. No, well, I've not listened to it yet. I'm looking forward to listening to it. I would have had a bit of a surprise if you'd have not said anything.
I'll let you off.
All right, fine. Well, there you go. Well, everyone can settle in. I'm going to settle in now. And we're going to listen to Ebony Rainford-Brent on the Shackles Are Off podcast. In the meantime, Chris, I want your prediction, your big Barmy Army prediction, and then we're going to get into it.
I think England will win by 5 wickets. I think it's a World Cup final. It's going to be closer than the semi, but I still think England will win comfortably. I really think we are comfortably the best team in the tournament. Like, you look at the reserve players we've got and the all-round unit, I don't think there's anyone better than us in the tournament. And I think the right winner will win on the day.
There we have it. Chris Millard from the Barmy Army. That's his prediction. You've heard my prediction. Easy England win. Get yours in. We want to know on social media. By Sunday morning, hopefully, we will have the answer. We're looking forward to seeing you at Greenwood Sports Bar. Get involved on all the socials and settle in for the remainder of today's Shackles Are Off podcast with Ebony Rainford Brent.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Shackles Are Off podcast. We know you're a supporter of the Barmy Army and you follow what we do and big fan of what we do, so thank you for that. But what are you up to at the minute? It's obviously winter at the minute. Can you give the listeners a taste for what you're up to?
Yeah, well, the winter is cold. I mean, I have to be honest, I much prefer the cricket summer when it's all happening, the action's happening, and also the summer parties are happening. But yeah, winter time's a little bit different for me. I sometimes go away for tours, so I'm not going to go away till the Women's World T20 in February. So I have to brave this winter for a while as we start getting there. But in terms of other stuff, there's a lot of work to do in terms of ACE stuff. I'm doing supporting the charity. We're expanding into 6 cities, so work there. I'm doing a lot of work with Surrey County Cricket Club, so I still sit on the board there, and you know, we've got a culture and values board, and we're looking at all sorts of different things across the club and making a difference. So yeah, still keeping busy. Definitely, I tell you what I do get a bit more time for is a bit of golf, though. Yes. Golf is not great, but that's what I try and sneak in, a bit of winter golf as well.
Oh yeah, we've got a Cricket Legends Golf Day coming up, so we're going to have to get you down to that.
All right, I'll start practicing.
Very good, very good. And you just mentioned ACE there. Can you give our listeners a flavour for what ACE is all about?
Yeah, definitely. Well, look, you guys are cricket fans, which I know, and I think people who'd have been watching the game for a long time, and you would have seen generations, let's say 70s, 80s, 90s. Obviously, the West Indies were a great team. You've seen a lot of black players. Then you would have seen the generation, maybe the first generation of players like Devon Malcolm, who came over at a young age, Roland Butcher, all these sort of guys came through. And then we had a golden era of cricket for, you know, the black community in England. And you think of players like Dean Headley, maybe Alex Tudor was towards the end of that. But actually what's happened is black professional players have dropped off a cliff. And it's not just the black players, actually. I think generally lower socioeconomic groups, because of the way our sport is structured, sometimes don't get as much access, especially in the inner cities. Yep. So we set up ACE really just to try and reverse that. We wanted to find any players out there who have talent and support them into the county structure, and then hopefully they kick on. So we're seeing lots of young players getting chances in county cricket, met boys and girls, and we're in 6 cities and we're linked to all the county boards. So hopefully just in 5 to 10 years, we just don't see that trend happening. And then hopefully everything should stabilize and ACE won't be needed anymore.
Fabulous. Great to give the listeners a feel for that. Now at the Barmy Army, as you know, Ebony, as we know, we will be partnering together next year, which is very exciting, to try and give a little bit back from the stands, if we can, to the ACE program. We've got a lot planned, which our listeners will get to know about over the course of the coming months. But we actually had Joffre on the podcast the other episode, and he mentioned the fact that how accessible cricket is, especially in areas in central London. And I guess you started it at the Oval. And how big is that issue from a wider perspective? It's a really, really difficult sport to get into if you're from central London, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. So you take the Oval cricket ground. I grew up down the road from the Oval, but this is one of the major stadiums in the world, but there's no junior cricket club in the whole borough. So you think about the amount of people in South London, the potential. So what ends up happening is that even if you get an opportunity to play cricket at school, which sometimes you get, you know, some good programs that come in 6 weeks or so, if you actually want to join a cricket club, you've got to travel a long way. There isn't the infrastructure. needed to really develop. And then obviously as well, we know cricket can add up in terms of all the different kit and travel. And if you haven't got the money, then you haven't got the ability to reduce those barriers. So, you know, for me, I got lucky. I had a late, amazing lady called Jenny Washtrack. My mum was single parent, four kids. It was a lot of stress. But Jenny used to pick me up, take me to all the games and travel. She got me scholarships. She did everything you needed to break that barrier. But, you know, that's she had to do a lot of work. And she did it from the age of me, from about 12 to 18. Wow. And so, you know, it's tough work. And I think, you know, it depends actually. Regionally, it's different. You know, you look in the north and they have a, you know, there's more clubs. It's a little bit more working class tests. And so I do think you see in different pockets of the country, different challenges, but there's no doubt some of the big cities where it's hard to get that infrastructure into those communities, it's hard, but it's doable. I think what it means is cricket just has to create bespoke programs to get into these communities and make sure we join all those dots up.
Great. You've got some fantastic ambassadors at the ACE program. We've spoken to Joffrey already, Chris Jordan, yourself, Sevilla Dunkley. How important is it for young people to have people to look up to in the game?
Yeah, it's so massive, isn't it? And first of all, you touched on it a moment ago. I have to say this. Thank you for your support, by the way. You guys, you know, you are kind of one of the lights of the game from whenever I've been involved, and I just see the energy you guys bring. You know, you guys are ambassadors of the game in and of itself, the energy that you and your community create. So I just wanted to say to partner with you guys is amazing. So thank you for that. And then in terms of, like you say, the visibility and ambassadors, having those big names, I guess it's, I'd throw it back to you guys or our listeners. When you were young, you would have had superheroes, right? And, you know, in football, I used to love looking at Robbie Fowler as a kid. Denise Lewis was someone I looked to. Yeah. And it's usually because you see something that you relate in that person. That's what it is. Maybe they're from where you're from, or maybe they look like how you look, or maybe they've been through something you've been through. And I know I've just always had my, you know, you go to's. And so to see players like Joff and CJ and Sophia, we know that a lot of our kids from that community who might not see too many people from the Black British community around, they will see them and look up to them. And it's not just, you know, the kids from that background. Loads of kids are seeing them as their superheroes. But what it just means is there's one more bit of relatability that when you see your go-to hero, you're like, yeah, that is wicked. And, you know, the moment I knew as well that we wanted to launch ACE, you know, the interesting thing is it was watching Joff bowl to Steve Smith at Lord's. And I'm sure you all remember him whacking him in the head. And I just thought, we want more Joffreys, you know, we want them coming from all over British culture. We know that the kids are there. And he and Chris Jordan, they're going to be there, like, hopefully taking out the next Steve Smith in another decade. So I just, that was the moment I thought, we need ACE. It was when I saw him do that.
And you've obviously had a lot of support and a lot of representation from the cricket public. So there's definitely an opportunity to grow this, and there's obviously a need for it as well. You spoke about expansion. Can you talk a little bit about that, what the plan is for expansion, how you're going to go about that?
Yeah, definitely. So Sport England came in and they were amazing early on. They gave us over half a million over a 3-year period, and that allowed us to get Chevy, our main man, in place, coaches, start the academy and start to build. And we started in London, Bristol, Birmingham, and those were all with the counties of Surrey, Gloucestershire and Warwickshire. And then once we saw results, ECB were like, okay, we're with you, we're on this. And they've come in to fund Manchester, Leeds and Sheffield as well. So, and Nottingham. So yeah, so we're going up north. And basically, I mean, because also ACE, even though we're targeting the Black British community, it's worth saying that our tagline is supporting diverse talent from the grassroots to the elite. So we go into areas where we know we're going to get a high take up of that community, but we bring everybody through. So, you know, whoever is in that community, we're making sure that they get a chance. And so even if you see our academy, you'll see obviously a high number of kids that we've inspired from the Black British community to follow up, but you'll see kids from all different backgrounds. And I think it's important as well that we focus on just understanding the socioeconomic barriers. So now we've gone up north, it's going great. I tell you what's getting interesting is because the, each city is starting to get stronger, they're wanting to play each other and everybody's wanting to take each other out. So next year we're planning on having like the cities taking on each other as well. I think that's when it gets spicy because, you know, not only are these kids good enough now to start getting into counties, and we're seeing a lot of uptake actually into the pathway. But also when it gets spicy is when one London wants to beat Manchester, who wants to beat Bristol, it gets fun. So yeah, I hope that, you know, not only what we're doing, but the support you guys are going to offer, you know, we could see a pro in 5 to 10 years. We just had Davina, who we support. She was already on her cricket journey, but we did a lot of mentoring and support with her. She just got a professional contract with the Central Sparks and she was part of the 100. And you know, the work that we're going to do and some of the things that we're going to do, you know, we could, you could end up supporting us to support someone who ends up becoming a pro. You know, that's very possible in the next few years. So it's exciting to see genuine talent that's going to get an access and opportunity.
I was just going to quickly jump in. Mm-hmm. Joffre said something quite interesting actually about he wants Ace to be around in 100 years time.
Oh, wow.
Bit of an extension on Chris's question there. Uh-huh. What do you think Ace looks like in 100 years time?
That's a really good question. Do you know what we've, I mean, I love what Joff just said because he's a legend and he's proper inspired our kids. And you know, and him actually, it's worth saying as well, those guys help behind the camera. So you know, sometimes, you know, someone just turns up as an ambassador. These guys, I remember just in the summer, the kids were down at Dulwich and I saw some text on a WhatsApp and there was someone in like a little beanie hat, just like with no gear or nothing, and it was Chris Jordan, and he's just rocked up quietly under the radar to come and help. So these guys genuinely, like, they're putting in, they're helping out, they're supporting behind the scenes. But where are we? Well, it's interesting because myself and Chevy and our guys are thinking, if we get our job done, we shouldn't be needed in 5 to 10 years. So we're kind of going, I hope we're not needed. Let's try and make sure the system's kind of supercharged and get out. However, I think what will end up happening is we'll have different parts of the problems to solve. So right now we're just trying to solve that little bit between you get the opportunity at school, but you need to get in the county system and you really need someone to help you get everything you need, kit, travel, training to get into the county system. But hopefully once you're in, you're good. But that's the barrier we're trying to sort of solve. But what we started to learn is there's a lot more issues of diversity with coaches, people in the media. We want to see more diverse voices, female engagement. So there are more issues. And I think what will end up happening is we might solve one bit and then Ace will evolve to solve the next bit for the game, and the next bit. The other thing I would say, though, is if we do start seeing a lot of Ace players come through, like, you know, in 5 to 10 years, we're churning out players, I guess we'll just double down, right? We'll just be like, hold on, there's more talent. Let's go and get some more kids. So, you know, if it is working, then I suppose we have to make sure we double down. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Hopefully it keeps working, but it is really going well at the moment.
Ebony, I'm born and bred from Sheffield. And
I've
been playing cricket for many years. So I'm so delighted you just said Sheffield. There's a very famous club in Sheffield called Sheffield Caribbean Cricket Club. And they've got a great facility, great ground, really good ethos. And sadly, over the last 10 years, we have seen a decline. There's less players, there's less participants. The ground's now hired out on a Sunday for fixtures. It's not used as it used to be used when I started 10, 15 years ago. So I'm delighted you said that personally. It improves everything you do in the city. You get more diversity within the game. And is that part of the base plan to really get into these core communities within these cities and try and have that real impact?
Yeah, massively. So, I mean, the club you just mentioned there is one that I know the team have already tapped up and started to connect with. And one thing we noticed, actually, and this is very different for different communities, but actually the Black British clubs that were established, let's say 60s, 70s, often ended up being wandering clubs or struggled to get the infrastructure or the, you know, the own the land or the leases, etc. And then over time, a lot of these clubs have struggled, and then maybe not having the infrastructure needed, they haven't been able to build the junior section. You know, you go to a good club, like I grew up and I played a lot of Shepperton, or I go down to a club like Spencer, which is in South London, and they have, you know, the under fives, under six, up to everybody. You've got a million teams, you've got people at the bar, money's coming into the club, and you've built that infrastructure. But without like a real home or the investment needed to build that, it's been quite hard. So a lot of the clubs have not really been able to establish. It's something that we're conscious of what we've done, for example, down in London this year, and you mostly could talk to Chevy a little bit more about the detail, but some of those clubs were struggling to get fixtures and good quality grounds. So we worked with the Foundation and Surrey County Cricket Club to get them more access to good pitches, good infrastructure. We actually put our ace team in their league as well, and they got to the semi-finals and then got beat. And I have to say, I thought the old boys would take it easy on the kids. They didn't. They were trying to rough them up. It got spicy and quite tight when it got to the semi-finals. But I think a key point of ace there was just trying to support those clubs to get access to good pitches, good infrastructure. It needs a lot of money though, if I'm being honest. That's the sort of thing, you know, you need real investment to come in from the TEP end. And I know ECB have put some money into some key areas, but it needs clubs to be able to have real homes that they can build around, or a bit like Sheffield and I think Handsworth in Birmingham's like that, ones where they have an infrastructure, you just got to rebuild it and get it really strong.
Yeah, fantastic. Ebony, before we let you go, you did mention the Women's T20 World Cup next year. Mm. Exciting time for the women's game, for women's sport as a whole. Yeah. It seems to be on the crest of a wave. We're hoping to get out there as the Barmy Army over to South Africa for it. Are you looking forward to it? Excited?
Yeah, massive. Well, first of all, I'm not going to lie, I am jealous. If my career had been 5 years earlier, I might have still been playing and tried to get on these 100 contracts, travel around the world. I might have got a car deal, some Sunny's deals. But unfortunately, I missed out and I missed the boat. But luckily, I get a chance to commentate on it and see a lot of the girls come through. The women's game is just, it's crazy how far it's grown. And I think the 100 is maybe a real milestone to see how important it is to the 100. And people are coming down, not to just support, you know, the men's side, it's genuinely men and women's engagement. A lot of players now are household names. In our generation, people hardly knew anybody but, say, Charlotte Edwards. But now you can name Nat Sivers, Sophia Dunkley, you know, the list goes on. And overseas players, Meg Latt, you know, the awareness is there. I just want to see it grow from strength to strength. I think the one thing I really want to see at the moment is England take down the Aussies. I feel like we're like 95% there. And we just in those key moments, we just got to knock them off. The Aussies have just they've just got the mental edge on us at the moment. I wouldn't say the technical edge or the tactical edge, but I just think they've got the mental edge. So that's what I want to see in South Africa, actually, because I think that also, you know, if England win that T20 again, going into the summer of the 100, it will really kind of accelerate again that narrative of the girls keep winning and they're doing well. So that's what I want to see. But yeah, hopefully I'll see you guys. I think South Africa will be pretty nice at that time of year as well. Maybe I might see you on a wine tour or something with some of the Barmy Army guys.
Love to. Ebony, thank you so much for coming on. The shackles are off and look forward to seeing you on the television screen this winter.
Amazing. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great one.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Chevy, leader of the ACE programme, welcome to the Shackles Rock podcast. Thank you so much for giving up your time. Just really want to get a feel and a flavour for what's it like to be running the ACE programme, first of all, but then secondly, like, you're making a difference in sport, in cricket. You've got a really special job and it seems like you're doing a really good job. So what's that like? You enjoying it?
Thank you. Definitely enjoying it. Worked in a few different roles in cricket and this is definitely the best one so far. And having Ebs and a boss is not too bad either. It kind of lets you do your thing, but she does crack the whip every now and then. But, you know, she kind of gives you a bit of a rein to kind of make it your own. And definitely these last couple of years now, literally just 2 years as an independent charity, leading it from the front has been amazing. It's been great, great fun. Got to meet Chuck as well. That was a great experience with the Grenada team. So that was all fun and games.
I was hoping that's good. Thank you.
You got to stop rubbing his ego, Chevy. He's too big. You need to put him down a peg or two. Come on. So Chevy, what? Talk me through, like, what do you do leading Ace? Obviously, there's so much to do. There's so much to tackle. Ebony's spoken really well about the expansion of the program. You're the man that has to do the work. Like, how do you go about that? And have you got key contacts? And are you working with key partners? What do you do? What's that like?
Yeah, a lot of spinning plates. As a director of programs, I kind of oversee literally everything. And that's from the coaching session. Just to the expansion, as you mentioned, just earlier today, we were looking at expanding our school's program. So it's kind of a lot of things kind of fall to me, and we've got a small team. But now, as the team's growing, can start delegating a little bit more. But it's good fun, and like stuff like you touched on there with expansion. As I kind of came on talking with about Sheffield, you know, a place close to your heart. It's exciting working with Sheffield Caribbean and with Yorkshire and the investment that's gone into there as a county. They were going to have an office on site there, you know, so Yorkshire's going to have an office on site that the ACE Development Office are, and another program that Lord Taverners do, Wickets, out of there will have an office outside based from Sheffield Caribbean Cricket Club. So it's all those kind of things that are exciting. You know, it's not just a case of trying to get more players into counties as much as we can. We want to do that, but help trying to build the game and influence the game as much as we can with encouraging that influence and support a club that's been around a long time that has falling away, but if we can use our influence to help, and you know, that starts with the person who I believe is affiliated to the club, who's going to be starting there later this month, you know, being based out of that makes a big transition that you can help, and then you can introduce a lot of those national programs. You can start to re-engage the community and re-engage the area and get more people playing, and you can do the all-star dynamos and build stuff that all the other cricket clubs can do and that they do successfully in the area and other parts. So yeah, it's just trying to, I guess, shape everything together. So trying to get kids deals and into counties and as well as trying to get them jobs. You know, we put people on courses. Now, one of the proudest things, we've got people that work back for us, coaching on our program, in our schools hubs, in our community hub program. You know, some work at the club shop, at the Oval, you know, ticket office. So it's more around it just than just the playing side. A lot of people just see Aces, they're playing games and they're playing matches, but there's a lot more that goes in behind it. And yeah, just trying to influence English cricket as much as we can.
Fantastic to hear. And for people listening, Chevy, and people that are sat home or maybe in the car wanting to explore Ace a little bit more or maybe even look to support Ace, we spoke to Ebony about the support that we're going to be offering as the Barmy Army. But how can people get involved with Ace? How can people find out more and get involved?
Yeah, they can check our socials. You know, it's predominantly all kind of at Ace program on Instagram, so Twitter, Facebook, and you know, we've got our website as well. And yeah, any support in terms of whether it's from volunteering, fundraising, we welcome all kind of support that can kind of help us grow. And the more, I guess, we're reliant on funding, so the more kind of ways we can raise funds, the more players we can attract to the game and hopefully be a long, lifelong fan of the game.
Fantastic to hear. Barmy Army, we are going to be supporting Ace throughout the year next year and hopefully beyond that. We're actually going to be together working to try and send a player to a high-performance academy overseas in Australia for the end of 2023. We're going to be doing a lot with you guys, Chevy, as we've touched on. But for all those people wanting to do something now, is there anything going on this winter? Is there anything going on this Christmas? What could they get involved in?
Yeah, we've got a lot of training sessions that started. You know, London, we've got our London-based training. Bristol and Birmingham, everyone's kind of got involved. We're looking to have an impact launch, you know, event for the program and the young people. So there's always stuff going on that people can get involved in at different levels. So we welcome them all and, you know, excited to see what we can do with the Barmy Army and excited to see what, you know, if there's any Barmy Army members that want to, you know, get involved throughout the year from now, you know, even before the relationship grows and starts. Looking to get love that support and excited to see where that can go. And particularly with that, supporting a young player to go, you know, to a high performance academy abroad is huge, is massive, it's game changing. And, you know, that could be the next step, the next 1% that gets one of the players to the next level.
Awesome. Chevy, thank you so much for coming on the Shackles Are Off podcast. Looking forward to working with you closely next year.
Yeah, thank you. And I'll be coming up to Sheffield, so definitely reach out, mate. We'll have some fun.
100%, mate.
Podcast Network.